the second most powerful of all the gods of Egypt was the sun. And in plague number 9, they experienced a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. It was so bad and so fearsome that the people dare not move. They sat still. They stood still, whatever position they were in. They were frightened. And the people of Israel had been observing and seeing the difference between the gods of the Egyptians and the God of Israel. The God of Israel was reintroducing himself to his people, for they had forgotten him. For the past 430 years, there was no revelation recorded for us in the scriptures. And so God had to reintroduce himself, that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And this is who I am. And so when we came to plague number 10, this was a most unusual plague, because for the first time in this particular plague, where God said, all the firstborn sons in Israel, sorry, in Egypt, will die. And Israel will not be excluded for the first time in God's judgment against the great kingdom of Egypt. The topic for this morning is, I will pass over you. These are the words of the Lord himself in verse 13. That's what the Lord said. He will pass over you, which means death will not fall upon the firstborn son in this womb. That's what it means. Death will not afflict this home. I will pass over you. But if you do not take heed of what I am teaching you, instructing you, death will also fall upon God's people in Egypt. The significance of this phrase, I will pass over you, it's very appropriate. For the past few months, 1.6 million people on earth had died of COVID-19. Sure, there were many other deaths from other events, diseases, accidents, murders, accidental killing. But COVID-19, the pandemic, had already taken 1.6 million lives. And thus far, the Lord had passed over us and our loved ones. The Lord has been very merciful. But how long will the Lord pass over us? That is why this Passover feast was so significant for Israel, which they are supposed to keep every year. But this was the beginning of their spiritual witness as the people of God, and soon they will become a nation of God's people. And that is why the Lord said to them, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Now this is the spiritual calendar that God is setting for them. Every nation will already have their own calendar, and most likely, when Israel was formed in the days of Joshua, they will have two calendars, the religious calendar and also the business calendar, the calendar that they will use whenever they relate to other nations, just like our nations of our world today. In order for us to do business, the nations of the world follow the solar calendar. But in relation to our faith, in relation to Israel, Jehovah, they follow their religious calendar. And for us as Chinese, we have our Chinese New Year, which is based upon the lunar calendar. That's why it keeps changing in relation to the solar calendar, the business calendar, the calendar that we follow in our business dealings with the rest of the world and with one another in Singapore. And so this was a very important, significant spiritual beginning for Israel, as God himself wanted Israel to never forget their spiritual responsibility and how important their lives and their witness are to them and to the rest of the world. I will pass over you. That means death will no longer afflict you. And thus far, the fact that we are breathing means that death had not afflicted us. Do you know that whenever we fall sick, and whenever you ask the Lord to heal you, you're basically asking God to pass over you. Don't let death come. Not yet, Lord. Please extend my life. Just like Hezekiah, God extended his life for 15 years when he pleaded with God for an extension to heal him of his very, very terrible disease that was deadly. And you look at our world, the Lord has been very merciful. 1.6 million experienced death. How many of them were believers? We have no idea. Only the Lord knows. But this thought of death is very important for us. That's the message of this pandemic. The world is so frightened because of death, isn't it? They're not frightened of the disease, of the sickness. If they know that they can recover, look at the flu jab. It is said that when a person receives the flu jab, he is injecting the virus of the flu into his body. It's just that vaccine that the world had prepared for those who want that vaccine. And it is only for maybe a year. And then every year you have to take a flu jab. It's really good for 1 year. It's not like the polio vaccine that is good for a lifetime. This is only for a year. And what they did is they extract off all the poison in that virus that makes us sick and die. And then what is left behind will be some semblance of the flu virus, but the deadly poison that is in it that will kill us is removed. And that's how they produce vaccine. And that's why a vaccine is very safe after a season of time of testing, 2, 3, 4 years. Because how do you know you have extracted every poison, all of it? And so they will extract what they think is all the poison, and then they will test it on subjects. But now because of the pandemic, and how it had devastated the economies of the world. And so this vaccine now has been expedited. And within a few months, they say now, we can have the vaccine. In some countries like England, they have already initiated the national vaccination for all the people. The country of the country will follow suit while they observe now how safe the vaccine is, because you're basically injecting the virus into your body, hoping that those immunologists or virologists, they have truly succeeded in taking away all the poison. Because we are afraid of death. We want the Lord to pass over us, and don't let that stay in our home and in our lives, because once it happens, it's over. Everything is over. Whatever state and condition we are in, that's the state and condition we will be forever and ever. That is why this topic, I will pass over you, is not me that is going to pass over you that you should be concerned with. It is the Lord. And in this passage, the Lord said, I want to pass over you and not see death in your home, in your life, in your firstborn, which is basically the representative of everyone in the home, the firstborn son. And the given reason is, I want you to be saved from your sin. I don't want death to afflict any human being. And that is why the Lord gave clear instruction, whereby homes could be passed over by the Lord, where death will not afflict this particular home. This has always been the Lord's desire. And that's why the Lord had given provision. And the first provision that we see is found in the first part of verse 13. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses which ye are. But that's the first part, because of the shed blood. And this instruction is found in the first 10 verses of the same chapter. The nature of this blood, how is the significance of this blood to be applied? In what way? In what manner? So it's not just any form of shed blood of any animal, but it has to be the shed blood of the Lord's instruction, of the Lord's doing. And so what we see from verse 3 is this: speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, that's the Lord's instruction to Moses. Now you tell them, this is how they are going to prepare the blood, so that when I visit every home, I will pass over, and that son, the firstborn son in this home, will be spared. There will not be death in this home. And so the Lord said, in the 10th day of this month, this first month, you shall take a lamb according to the house of your fathers, a lamb for one house. And if the house so be too little, means too small, too few of you, you can combine. You and your neighbor next to you can combine together. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb, because it is expensive. And if you have only husband and wife and one son, and your neighbor likewise, you can combine. But that means you could have two firstborn sons in the same house. But nevertheless, the Lord said, that's fine. Now, what about the lamb? The lamb shall be without blemish, a male, not a female, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. All right, on the 14th day in the evening, that means that will be the start of the Passover. Now remember, they count the beginning and the end of a day from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. So the 14th day evening will be the 15th day, the beginning of the 15th day, 6 p.m. Okay, of the 15th day. The closing day hour of the 14th day, 6 p.m., will be the beginning of the 15th day, 6 p.m. Don't forget that. Now, why the 10th day? Why can't they just simply pick a lamb without blemish, a male of 1 year old, on the morning of the 14th day? Why pick on the 10th day? Now, this is what they have to do at the beginning of the Passover. Subsequently, when they entered into the promised land, the Passover will no longer be observed in the same manner. It will be observed in a very different manner. But while they are in Egypt, at the inauguration of the Passover sacrament, this was very, very significant, so that the meaning of it will not be lost, even though the manner in which they will observe it once they enter the promised land will change. But the spiritual significance must not be forgotten. I believe one of the key important significance of taking the lamb on the 10th day and bring it into your home. Now, lambs are not supposed to be in your home, but that's what they are supposed to do. Bring it into the house. And then the lamb will be with the family. And imagine the children, whenever they look at this lamb, they must keep it safe. It must not be blemished. Once it is blemished, you can't use it. And this lamb is going to represent firstborn son. And so you are not to partake of the Passover in a very cold-hearted, perfunctory manner, as if it is just going through the motion. you have to see the Lamb and identify yourself with the Lamb, and the family will look at the Lamb and they must feel for the Lamb, feel for their firstborn son. Every parent, every sibling, every child, especially the firstborn son. If not for this Lamb, I will die. I deserve death. But the Lord will pass over everyone in this home because of this unblemished Lamb. It has to be something personal. It has to be something intimate. And that's why I believe the Lord said, you take the Lamb on the 10th day, and on the 14th day evening, you prepare it, you kill it, and then you eat it. Nothing must be left over because it is holy. And whatever that is not consumed, you burn it. That's why the Lord wanted them to take the Lamb on the 10th day, to personalize so that everyone in the home will feel for the Lamb. You know how some families will have pets. And when they have pets, especially if you have a pet chick, a chick grows into a fully grown hen, a chicken, a hen. And then if dad might say, all right, now the chick, which is the pet of your child, is now grown up, now let's eat chicken rice. And so you want to slaughter it, cook it, and then consume it. And if this chick grew up in that family into a full-grown hen, a chicken, you think they're going to kill it and then make chicken rice out of it? You think the son or your daughter has always looked after this chick and see it grow to a full-grown chicken, a hen? You think your child will allow you? You think a child will see that pet on the dining table all nicely cooked and chopped and ready for consumption? You think the child will eat it? The chicken rice that you buy from a hawker center whereby you have no relationship, no feeling for that chicken or chick, you have no problem consuming it. They're detached, but not this pet chick. Too many memories, the feeling and the attachment is there. And that is why the Lamb must not be taken cold-heartedly as if there's nothing to do with you. There's everything to do with everyone in that family because they all love their firstborn. It's big brother. And parents, that's your firstborn. He's going to continue the lineage of your home, of your family. And so the Lord wanted this Lamb to be meaningful to the family. And then after they killed it, they have to take the blood, look at verse 7, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost. That means the two side posts and the lintel, the top horizontal post that supports the stone that is above the entrance of the door. And that's what they must do. It's not just any shed blood. It is the shed blood of a male lamb of the first year without blemish. And you have to take the blood and dab it on the two side posts and on the lintel of the entrance of this home. And everything must be done accordingly. And then you are to prepare it, not by boiling it, but by roasting the entire animal on fire. And then you have to consume it. And whatever that is not consumed, you cannot keep it until the next morning. You have to burn it. So every part, either you eat it and then you burn it. Now the eating part means it has to go into your belly, into the innermost part of you, that lamb that is now standing in the place of your firstborn son. whereby the Lamb has to give his life for the life of the firstborn son, so that this family will not have to experience death this night. When the Lord will pass over, he will see the blood. It will be a sign upon this house where you are. That's what it means. Because of the shed blood of this Lamb that has taken the place, the vicarious place of the firstborn son. And they have to eat it, consume it. Imagine. He has to go deep down into your belly, into your very being as part of you. The whole family have to consume it. Those who are old enough, of course, not the babies, not the infants, those who are old enough to consume, they have to eat it in remembrance of the Lord's mercy toward this home, to spare their lives. And so he says, I will pass over because of the shed blood. We know that we die because of sin. Every home in Israel now will have to do this. The 10th plague will include them. And if any Israelite were not to follow this, and if the Lord were to pass over this home in Israel, in Goshen, where the Israelites lived, that firstborn son will also perish. Unlike the other 9 plagues, there was a clear line, clear separation. But this 10th plague was very significant because it's about death. And the Lord wants the message to be very, very clear, especially for his people. That you and I must know that your life and my life is in God's hands. Death can occur to any one of us, without exception. It's in God's hand. Remember this. And the Lord has been so merciful all these years. The fact that you are still breathing means the Lord has passed over you day by day. And if you go through this Lord's day, able to go to bed and go to sleep, it's because the Lord has passed over you on another day, and then another day, and then another day, and then another day. But there will come a day. Yeah, it is going to be over, but death will come. And in some cases, you don't even know when death will come. In others, you have been given prior preparation from doctors. They might tell you that you have a few more months to live because of this illness, this disease. Do you realize that that is, in a way, God's mercy towards you? To let you know in advance, in contrast to those who perished on 9/11 years ago, when the 2 planes crashed, they did not realize that that morning when they woke up and they went to work, it was so normal, not knowing that by the end of that day, they are no longer walking on earth. So all those firemen who rushed in to save people, they never realized that by rushing in, that final act of theirs, heroic act, was their final act. Thousands perished on that day. It was sudden, it was shocking, and it reverberated throughout the whole world, did it not? And you and I can go on and on and on of accidents, of tragic, sudden deaths. No warning. Not realizing that that morning or that afternoon, that evening was their final one. Do not think that the Lord will always pass over us. This sacrament that the Lord has now instituted for the people of Israel is a parallel of our Lord's Supper. Just as circumcision was replaced by water baptism, the sacrament of the Passover was replaced by the Lord's Supper. Who said so? The Lord said so. We read it a moment ago before we took the Passover, the Lord's Supper, I mean, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 11, when the Lord himself were with his disciples at the Passover, and then he said that from now onwards to all of you who are now serving the Lord in the church witness period. This is now going to be the New Testament, the new sacrament. But the significance and the meaning of it remains the same. I will pass over you. I don't want to see death in your life, the Lord says, because it is so final. Whatever state and condition that you are in, if you die in evil and in wickedness, that is in sin, you will end up in hell forever and ever, where there is great pain and torment and gnashing of teeth and great, perhaps, loneliness, like the 3 days of absolute darkness, so thick that they just simply stood there and sat there and cried and wept. Some people think that, well, in hell, we will have a great time of celebration and all who are in hell can rejoice in sin, in pain. We're going to have a great company, a vast amount of people all around us. Who told you all this nonsense? You could be gnashing your teeth all alone in great solitude forever and ever. And you and I know that loneliness or solitude is a form of punishment that is perhaps even worse than any form of physical suffering. The torment in our mind is unimaginable, to be all alone in solitude like some prisoner because of their very bad behavior. They are thrown into solitude as a form of punishment. The Lord says, "Do I see the sign upon this house, I will pass over you." The blood of the Lamb. You and I know that it represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is His blood. That's why it has to be without blemish, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God that suffered and that died on the cross of Calvary to take away the sins of the world. That you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ like one who eats His flesh and drinks His blood. It has to be inside. It has to be internalized. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ superficially, only with your head and with your mind. That will not bring salvation. It has to be internalized. It has to be something personal, something extremely meaningful between you and the Lord. And that's when the sacrament of the Lord's Supper becomes very meaningful to us. You think everyone in this home who followed and did this in Israel was born again? Sadly, tragically, not. Because many of them perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. The Bible made that very plain and clear. But in this particular moment, when they went through the motion of it, they were saved. Did they eat it? Did they do everything correctly? They did. But they never had an intimate personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lamb. Some did, some didn't. Taking the Lord's Supper doesn't save us. Just having a mere memory of what Jesus Christ did on the cross will not save us. It has to be personal. It has to be internalized. That's why we have to eat it. Internalize it. That's what the Lord also said to the disciples in the Gospels. Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Of course, it's not meant to be literally, has to have the figurative and spiritual significance like that of the Passover, eating the lamb. 10 days. Put yourself into the lamb, that this lamb is going to die for my big brother. For the big brother, this lamb is going to die in my place. Jesus died in your place. Have you internalized Him, whereby He is truly your Lord and your Savior of your life, is transformed and changed forever, never the same again? That's why this inauguration of the Passover was so significant. Never will the people of Israel be the same again as you depart from the land of bondage. You will be free. You're going to become a nation of God's people. Isn't that our experience? We were not in the land of Egypt, but we were all in another land, a land of bondage, and it was the bondage to sin. Do you know The Lord says, when I see the blood, not when Moses, not when Joshua, not when anyone see the blood, when I see the blood, the Lord says, so only the Lord matters. It's you and the Lord. Dearly beloved, dear friend, this morning, the Lord says, I will pass over you when I see the blood. Will he see the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covering our entire being, our mind, our heart, our soul, our body, every part of us covered by the blood? When he looks into your life, will he see the blood? He has to. If he doesn't see the blood, death will come. And it's all over. It is the Lord's vision, his eyes. When we see, I can't see. No one can see your heart. We all can see only the superficial, the surface. Oh, I can see your holy living. I can see how you look like a Christian. You behave like a Christian. You talk like a Christian. You serve like a Christian. You will do everything like a Christian. But I can't see the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covering you. That privilege belongs only to the Lord. And for that matter, only what the Lord sees matters. For us, we see it. It may impact us and encourage us for a season of time. But when the Lord sees, it is for eternity. You have to make sure that the Lord sees the blood covering you. And you know that. Everyone in that home, after they dab the blood on the side post and on the lintel, they know that this home is covered in the blood. And if they step outside and if they're in any home that has no blood on it, everyone in the home will know. This home has no blood on it. They know it. You have to be in the house. Eat the lamb. And when the Lord passes over, he sees the blood. And death is removed. The Lord needs to see the blood in your life, because when he sees the blood in your life, your mind will be the mind of Christ. Because he sees the blood, you will think godly thoughts. You think like him. You think according to scriptures. He sees the blood covering your mind, whereby you will love to study God's word and you can understand God's word. You know how frightening it is when someone shares with you that I struggle to understand God's word. When I study it, I don't understand what it means. I mean, there are some passages where we have to struggle in understanding God's word because it is difficult, like what Peter shared about the writing of the great apostle Paul. It is difficult in some passages. But there is a world of difference, as different as night and day, heaven and hell, whereby a person testifies and shares that I don't understand the Bible. It's not just a bit here, a bit there. We're not talking about the difficult passages. He says, I don't understand the Bible, even simple verses. I just simply do not know and how to apply it to my own life. That is a detachment, like you would detach yourself when you teach mathematics. Mathematics doesn't impact and influence your life morally or ethically, and definitely not spiritually. You just teach it, you just study it, and if you're a maths teacher, you just teach it as a form of a job whereby you make a living out of teaching mathematics. That's it. It's very detached. It doesn't affect your morality and your ethics and your relationship with God. But you can't do that with the Bible, even though we know of seminary professors and Bible college teachers whereby they teach the Bible like someone teaching some history book. Don't ever do that. When the Lord sees the blood, He knows that you have been endowed with the mind of Christ, and the word of God will be the milk and meat to your hungry soul. And therefore, he sees your soul as well, whereby you truly will have an intimate personal relationship with him, whereby you will cry to him, whereby you will pray without ceasing, whereby you will worship and you will rejoice from the depths of your soul when you sing those wonderful hymns. And what preacher Colin Kang said, you have just been given the privilege to resume out loud singing. We are still waiting, but you have been given for the past few months not allowed to sing out loud, but now you suddenly have been given the privilege to gather together in church and to sing out loud as a gathering of God's people. Does that thrill your hearts? How do you feel? All this while you've been singing to yourself unto the Lord because of health issues, because of safety considerations, but now it has been lifted. The joy that must well up from within your soul, within your heart. The Lord knows that such a soul, I see the blood of my only begotten Son covering that soul. And then the heart, the motive behind it is the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is a heart that has also been covered with the blood of the Lamb. And the Lord will see it. The Lord will see every part of your being, your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, all covered by the blood. And therefore, when I see such blood, I will pass over, and death will not afflict this person ever again, for eternity. That's how significant the Passover is. Death will forever be taken away from you, because death is coming. Death is coming. You see the part in the last part of verse 13. It is the Lord's Passover, verse 11. In the last part of verse 13 says, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Death will pass over you when the Lord smite the land, this earth, with his plagues. You know, the trumpet judgments and the vow judgments. Will the Lord pass over you? Death is coming, dear friend. Last week, we just conducted the funeral service of one of our church members' father. 1.6 million. Did not make it through 2020. They were there at the end of 2019. The 1.6 million did not realize that that was their last and final new year and the old year as they sang Auld Lang Syne. If they ever did. Death is coming, dear friend, and it is in the hand and power of God Almighty. What will he find when he brings death over your home, over your life? Will he see the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, covering you? He will pass over you, and death will no longer afflict you ever again, because of the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, and your sins in particular. For he has risen from the dead for your justification, and death has now been removed from your life forever. That's the Lord's promise. He who believeth in me, Jesus says, will never die. And he meant every word of it. And the Lord will pass over you forever. And death will no longer afflict you. And if all in your home, in your family, have also been covered by the Lamb's blood, your family will be with you for eternity. And not even death can separate any one of you, because you have now been sealed by the blood of the Lamb forever and ever. As a family here on earth, and a family you will remain in heaven. That's why, as parents, if you truly love your children, let the blood of the Lamb be found in the lamp, the doorposts and the lintel of your home, so that the Lord, when they see your home, he will pass over you, and death will no longer afflict any one of you. But if he doesn't see, death will come. That's why, as parents, focus on the spiritual well-being of your children, because death is coming. It's in God's hands. It can come anytime. You know that. This pandemic is a very stark reminder, especially to God's people, whose eyes are already spiritually open, who can see beyond just the physical, but into the eternal, the urgency. And for us who may be children of God, and we have parents and friends who are not believers, will you have a burden for them, for their souls, so that when the Lord passes over them, you have done your utmost to share the Lord with them, to show them and point them to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have done your utmost with prayer, with devotion, and always in holiness and faithfulness, so that they too may be prepared and be covered by the blood of the Lamb when the Lord passes over them, because of the Lamb, the blood that covers them. We thank God for the goodness and the mercies and the patience and the long-suffering of God's dealing with all of us. But let us not take all these and be presumptuous, because we procrastinate. We think that we can still fool around and live for the things of the world and constrained by men, and thinking that, well, the Lord has always passed over me and he will continue to pass over me, as if the only way that he will pass over you forever and ever, where death will no longer afflict you, is to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you truly accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, who died on the cross for your sins, with all your heart, unconditional surrender to him. Because the Lord also promised us and assured us, whoever that the Father giveth to him and cometh to the Lord Jesus Christ and stand before him, he will in no wise, he will never ever cast out. But you have to come before him and arrive and stand at the foot of the cross, sincerely, truly, unconditionally surrender your life to him. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him. Not all who experienced the first Passover feast were born again. They went through the motion, but the blood of the Lamb did not cover their soul, their heart, and their mind, their being. But thank God many did. What about us this morning? Will the Lord truly pass over us forever and ever, where death has permanently, eternally been removed from our lives, because he has been covered by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world? And then the Lord will say to you forever, I will pass over you when I see the blood. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning, O God, and may thy truth of the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world convict us to help each and every one of us to make sure of our salvation, that our relationship with you, Lord, is not superficial, is not external. We have eaten the flesh and the blood of the Lamb. And we truly have Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, for we have the mind of Christ and the love of God constraining us. And living a life of holiness has been our all-consuming desire every moment and every day of our lives. Oh Lord, forgive us of all our sins and sanctify thy people by thy truth, for thy word is truth. And as we stand before thee this morning, we pray, Lord, that you will truly pass over us when you see the blood. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.